What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. It is the Backstage Report podcast. And oh my God, we have a lot to talk about. Let's go ahead and get into it. The releases this week, WWE released 17 talent, maybe 18 talent on Thursday. They released a ton of office employees as well. We're going to get to all that. New York Post quickly revealed that some were in part due to their vaccination status. They outright named Nia Jax. I'm not going to name names here, but Fightful did confirm with WWE sources that at least five of the released talent were openly unvaccinated, including some names that would very much surprise people. I should say, this was not the exclusive reason. It was not the reason across the board for firings, and it should be noted that releasing talent for not being vaccinated is completely legal and would have restricted many of the venues that performers could compete in, as well as their travel availabilities and the like. Rumors of releases have been running rampant for weeks within the industry. There was actually some chatter in the sports agent world a couple weeks back that these cuts would be happening about 6 days before they happened. And they didn't, and then it happened right after the quarterly calls. There were some office cuts that were made before the quarterly call as well. Stan Stansky and Beth Davis. But there were a bunch of office employees that were cut as well. Laura Todd had been there for 14 years. She was vice president of partnership marketing. You had John Stamatis, who had been the SVP of global marketing and sales strategy. Laura Petroselli, who was the VP of branding. That worked directly with the CBO. She managed like a $13 million budget annually. She'd worked with WWE for over 9 years. There's Mike Giacco, who worked in the talent sales and global partnerships department. He was actually a 24/7 champion in 2019. He was the WWE office employee that won it. Now, I was told that this isn't an effort to reduce headcount. This is something that will cause promotions from within the company, streamline things, make things probably more financially efficient for them. There are going to be some new hires for these spots and the spots that are vacated from internal hires as well. So I don't believe this was for reducing headcount, so to speak. As far as talent goes, we did get a lot of information on the releases. There were company-wide emails sent out from John Laurinaitis notifying of the releases and citing budget cuts as the reason. Even though BFAB had been released, her name was included on the NXT email as opposed to the one mentioning main roster cuts. The NXT email included BFAB, Scarlett, Frankie Monet, Ember Moon, Jesse Kamea, Trey Baxter, Oni Lorcan, Jeet Rama, Katrina Cortez, Zeta Ramir, and Oni Lorcan's was misspelled with a K in the email. The main roster email included Mia Yim, Keith Lee, Eva Marie, Nia Jax, Grand Metalik, Lindsay Dorado, and Karrion Kross. The email read, due to budget cuts, the following WWE talent were released today, November 4th, 2021. Thank you, John Laurinaitis. And then the NXT email came from the director of talent relations that read, due to budgetary cuts with immediate effect, we've come to terms with the following NXT talents. We wish these individuals all the best in their future endeavors. Again, you hate to hear about somebody losing their job. If you are a subscriber to Fightful, we do request a few things, at least conduct on our boards and stuff. Don't like tap dance on anybody's grave. That's not what we're here to do. These people are people. They lost their jobs. They lost their livelihood. Also, please know, oh, why is this person fired and this not? Don't want to be that kind of place. Just don't want to do that. But we did learn some plans about these releases, or lack thereof. Katrina Cortez, she was brought up to the main roster in late 2019 to pair with Sin Cara. However, Sin Cara outright told us at Fightful that there were never any real plans for the duo, and it only happened to put over Andrade and Zelina. Shortly thereafter, Sin Cara asked for his release when Paul Heyman told him that his character was dead, and Katrina was sent back to NXT. I was told there were never any major plans for her. It was stressed to us internally that the reboots of Keith Bearcat Lee and Karrion Kross were not their ideas personally, something that Keith Bearcat Lee reiterated on his Instagram, and I'm pretty sure Karrion Kross made clear when he said that he hated that helmet. Well, we were told that WWE had looked at Scarlett as a wrestler on Raw and SmackDown, but she was quickly sidelined. I don't know what that means, though. There were several that pushed for Scarlett to be a part of Karrion Kross's act on the main roster, but obviously that never came to fruition. Almost immediately, backstage rumors swirled of Cross getting heat within the company, but even then, several tried to plead about the direction of his booking and his character. There were plans to adjust his character yet again, but most within the company pointed to the booking as the issue, not the characters themselves. Medium was drafted last year, not used at all in 2021, then drafted again. Fightful learned there were several tentative plans to have her on shows before the draft, and she had quietly changed brands multiple times. She went from Raw to SmackDown, never debuted, then went back to Raw, from what I understand, didn't debut, then got drafted to Raw out of that pool, even though there were no plans to use her there. Yes. Nia Jax was released on what she called a mental break. Fightful did confirm she'd asked for time off and was scheduled to return mid-November, but had asked for additional time off, rather. They had tentative plans for her, but nothing long-term from what we understand. Even Marie was in the same boat and had been filming a movie. Not only did WWE have no creative plans for her now, it didn't seem like they did when they brought her in. They had agreed to terms with her by October 2020, as PW Insider reported. For like a couple months after that, to like maybe even three or four, there were people trying to dunk on PW Insider like, oh, I thought Eva Marie was coming in. She was. They had no plans for her. Mike Johnson was right. They had agreed to terms. In December, we had heard that she was backstage in like her gear or in some sort of getup for vignettes. The creative plans were set for she and Doudrop by mid-late February, and Doudrop was informed of this by, I think it was March 1st. She was told that she was going to come over to the States. I think we actually reported it before it ended up making its way to her, but the vignettes never happened till like May, I think. So from October till May, Eva was just doing nothing. Oney Lorcan, Grand Metalik had both asked for their releases. Lorcan's request for release, I believe, was late 2019. And before that, it would appear that he signed a main roster deal. He talked about this on his YouTube. Please go over there, check out his YouTube channel. He's got some very enlightening videos. Like, he kicked off his vlog, Biff Busick did, and talked about how he had signed a main roster deal to do 205 Live. I had never heard that that was a thing. I had never heard, but he said that because they were traveling and all that, they signed him to a main roster deal. Obviously, those requests for releases were not immediately granted. We reached out to Lince Dorado in October, and he said that he hadn't personally asked for his release as of then, but we're not sure if that changed. And he seemed in good spirits after the news. We reached out to Oney Lorcan, Mia Yim, Lince Dorado, Katrina Cortez, and all of them seemed determined. We reached out to Karrion Kross as well. All of them seemed determined, ready to get right back to it. Have some plans for some of them. Obviously, we're gonna be talking to a couple of them, I believe. But there was also Jeet Rama, who we're told the pandemic and his age both played against him. WWE's effort to globalize and expand into other territories, specifically India, were hindered by the pandemic. He'll be 41 in a couple of months, and Fightful learned that with no creative plans for him, the company saw him as expendable. Of course, we're going to have a lot more on that in the coming days, weeks, all that. Moving on to ROH news. Their status in flux, and a lot of people questioned whether or not the assets actually belonged to Sinclair Broadcast Network. There were some rumors that were going around that maybe Kerry Silkin owned part of the tape library, specifically an early part. I reached out to Kerry Silkin. He told us that Sinclair Broadcast Group owns the entire video library. It's not divided in any way. We weren't given any details on if it's actively for sale or anything like that. But Sinclair Broadcast Group just reached a new deal with the Cavs, the Red Wings, the Tigers for the regional sports network. The stock is where it was roughly when the ROH decision was announced, but has dropped 15% in the last 6 months. So Some other company news. Miro served as a replacement for Jon Moxley on AEW Dynamite, and the company cut it close with getting him to the venue on Wednesday. We're told the final decision was determined on Tuesday afternoon, and Miro was not actually scheduled to be at the show, and he arrived shortly before Dynamite on Wednesday, and AEW flew him in directly for that. We also spoke to EJ Nduka, the former Ezra Judge of NXT. He said that he started getting contacted by promoters almost immediately after his NXT release, and he said the transparency and honesty that he got from MLW helped lead him there. Their confidence in him early on spoke volumes to him. He stepped in and immediately eliminated like 13 people from the Battle Riot, so they clearly wanted to portray him as a big, dominant star. He also said that even though he left the WWE PC after his release, he's not stopped training. He's working at Devon Dudley's school, and said that King Mo was really great with him at MLW, showed him a hold. And preparing for War Chamber, he would always make the effort to get to the venue early for shows, so he was around as War Games was being put together in NXT, and he's been studying Elimination Chamber matches of late. We also spoke to Mandy Rose. She said that she was called and informed she'd be moving back to NXT and was not expecting it. And she made it sound like that was the norm for her. Like, she didn't usually get told what she was going to do. She seemed like... I'll just say that. I don't want to speak for her. You can watch the interview and see what I mean. But she called her Royal Rumble moment with Otis the second biggest moment of her career following the NXT title win, and she said that it was a collaborative creative effort. She pitched much of the Otis story to Vince McMahon personally and thinks that that got her some respect within the company and within Vince. She also said that she's open to teaming with Sonya Deville in the future, but doesn't know much about the other members of Toxic Attraction when she started, but was told that she was there to help them out. She also brought up comparisons to Absolution and said that she and the members of Riot Squad had no idea who would be teamed with who or what the creative direction would be when they were brought in. She also told me that there were a lot of efforts to bring people through the production truck and teach people why they do things, why they zoom in on certain things, why they hold for camera angles and facial expressions and things like that within NXT. So that's good to hear. WWE producer list is up on Fightful Select, by the way. Some of the highlights from Raw, SmackDown, main event that you'll read there. Tyson Kidd produced the Bianca Belair-Becky Lynch match from Raw. There are some main event producers, which is something we don't usually get a hold of. It seems like Jamie Noble is working directly with his former Young Dragons teammate, Jimmy Wang Yang, who's going through a tryout right now. Also, it looked like Adam Pearce and Steve Corino were listed as a collaborative effort on Hit Row and Sami Zayn. But you can see that full list on FightfulSelect.com. Contract news. Juice Robinson's deal is up at the end of January 2022. He signed a multi-year deal with New Japan in early 2019 and has also appeared for ROH and Impact during that time. Despite the pandemic, Robinson still worked almost 36 dates overseas in Japan during that period. In addition to spearheading the New Japan Strong brand that the company launched, we have not heard if negotiations have started between the two sides, but did hear from one promoter that said that they expect Robinson to get multiple offers. So before all of that, the big story of the week was our Bray Wyatt story. And that was a very, very interesting one to a lot of people. I'll go ahead and get into it. There were multiple reports in regards to Bray Wyatt, that had been disputed, that he would take to Twitter to actively dispute or counteract. When we've reported stuff about him in the past, that hasn't necessarily happened, so it seemed like I was getting info from the right places. I wasn't having it dispelled by WWE or Bray Wyatt, so I reached a bit deeper into that, and the creative team had been told this past summer that Bray Wyatt was cleared and that he'd be returning to the company prior to his release, and that he was set to return in time for SummerSlam. He was seen at a few post-Mania episodes of Raw, and we're told that Randy Orton, among others involved with the WrestleMania match, were not happy with the creative direction or outcome of that match, which changed 2 days before the show. WWE officials approached Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton and said that things were changing, And what happened, happened, and that didn't go over well. There were actually wrestlers that were going up to Orton and Wyatt, like, saying they felt bad, apologizing, like, sorry that it ended like this. I was told there was never, at any point, a true creative endgame for the Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt story that went on for half a year. They never knew where they were going with it at any point. Initially, after that match, Orton was supposed to take time off, but it was actually Wyatt who ended up getting time away while Orton remained and began that team with Riddle. We've heard that there were a lot of outspoken situations with Bray Wyatt. I'll say that. He was very outspoken when creative was bad, and by the end, some felt Vince McMahon just didn't like him due to that. As a result, you've had people within WWE putting some stories out there, some that you guys didn't even end up hearing. So there were plenty of situations there. The consensus there was that almost nobody in the company truly believed that this was a budget cut, though we don't know if the budget cut reason was specifically cited to Wyatt himself. Talent was told that. This created a giant amount of frustration with the roster, staff, employees, with probably 20 people there reaching out to Fightful directly, saying there had to be more to it than considering he's a moneymaker. And a lot of them did not feel safe as a result. We're going to work to get more. I would imagine he's going to be talking sooner than later. But yeah, that is a wild situation, and now he is free to go wherever it is he chooses. Injury updates. AJ Styles sidelined for a non-injury medical reason. We've added Alexa Bliss to the inactives list. Zoe Stark sidelined with an undisclosed injury. John Moxley entered inpatient alcohol treatment on November 2nd. We hope that he gets better. Anthony Ogogo has returned to the U.S. He had eye surgery and has been sidelined since June. We have Eric Young returning to Impact Wrestling. He is healthy. TJP and Hammerstone, they were banged up the last set of MLW tapings, but it seems like they're good to go. Brooke Havoc had a knee injury and then came back and had another injury, which is a bummer. Hope to see her back soon. Some more unfortunate news. Mance Warner, Danhausen, both had injuries on October 31st and tibia, fibula injuries. They had surgery November 1st for Mance Warner, November 5th for Danhausen. Get well soon. There's ways to support both of them. Also, we've added Low-Key to the inactives list as he has not wrestled since April 2021. Contract updates. We have an interesting contract update coming Monday afternoon, as I film this in the wee hours of Monday morning. Speedball Mike Bailey has signed with Impact Wrestling, which is a great piece of news. We also are going to have some MLW news soon, but Tom Lawler's deal has expired. And of course, they made some releases recently as well. I believe we went through all the WWE releases. Unfortunately, there were tons of them. Scarlett Bordeaux, Frankie Monet, Ember Moon, Oney Lorcan, B-Fab, Jesse Kamea, Zeta Ramirez, Trey Baxter, Katrina Cortez, Jeet Rama, Grand Metalik, Lince Dorado, Karrion Kross, Nia Jax, Keith Lee, Mia Yim, Harry Smith, Eva Marie, all released. Also, Greg Hamilton was released shortly, like a week before that as well. Some unfortunate news this past week, but I want to thank you guys for supporting us through that. Support these people that have been released, that lost their jobs as well. Give them some positive reinforcement. Thank you guys so much. We've got a bunch of interesting stories this week on Select. Please help us get the word out. Until next time, we're out.